So I like the idea of thinking of a bell. We used to have that lovely prayer of Thich Nhat Hanh's that we used to ring, and with his meditation with that, I think we'll reintroduce that again. But for now, the idea of a clanging sound that wakes us up is an excellent thing to happen before we begin our sacred space together. And we're delighted today that Cynthia has joined us in the sanctuary. And we're delighted that the rest of you are here as well. And thank you for coming. This year, of course, we're looking at the way of service, engaging with the world, and we're already into the 10th month. Towards the end of the 10th month on this discernment. And it's so important that we develop ourselves so that we have the capacity to serve. And to be able to do that by not depleting ourselves, but also to enhance the life of the world, to enhance our lives and those we love and the world itself. So as we move through the rest of this year, we're going to look very deeply at this discernment. And one of the things we do at the beginning of our sacred time together is to call in the ancestors. And I happen to have a prayer that's called if I find it here. Actually, I'm not finding it here. It's a traveling prayer, and it calls in our ancestors. So join me in prayer now. May it be your will, O Holy One, the God of our ancestors. Lead us toward peace, guide our footsteps toward peace, and make us reach out to reach our desired destination for life, for gladness, for peace. May you rescue us from the hand of every foe and ambush, from robbers and wild beasts on the trip, and from all manner of punishments that assemble to come to earth. May you send blessings in your handiwork, in our handiwork, and grant us grace, grant us kindness and mercy in your eyes and in the eyes of all who see us. May you hear the sound of our humble request, because you are God, you are Creator who hears prayer requests. Blessed are you, O Holy One, who hears our prayers. And we're all travelers in this world. We're all visitors. And so it seemed to me that on a service where we're talking about humility and simplicity, that we call to mind very simple attunements for us. To expand our consciousness and expand our hearts. Another thing we do is we honor our first peoples. And today we are gathered on Duwamish land, on the land of the Pacific Northwest, of the Coast Salish people, which is considered a water culture. And our teacher, Siswin Clay Laurel Boucher, teaches us much about the Sisiwis culture. And she will be our guest speaker in 2 Sundays from now. And we are looking forward to learning more from her whenever we have the opportunity. And so take a moment now to feel your feet on the ground, on the earth, and to realize that you are part of the earth, and that there, the earth is a blessing to you, and that with the right attitude that we hold, we can caretake the past, repair the past, and improve the conditions of the First Peoples now. Mostly we do this through our consciousness and through our heart, love. So go ahead and take a moment, and if you're comfortable, close your eyes. Think of all the lovely water that's in this area, and all the lovely nature, and all the lovely people who have welcomed us and hold this benevolent space. We are grateful to our First Peoples. And we also have an offering for the Divine Feminine that we often do. And today I have one. And we've already lit the candle. And this is a prayer to the Divine Feminine Spirit who dwells in our stillness. So we plead to her, Divine Feminine Spirit, who dwells in our stillness, reveal yourself within, so we can bring forth your loving grace. We celebrate your patience. We honor your life-giving force. And we hear your call for change. With your vital power, move us to love in action. With your divine flame, ignite us to work for a kinder, gentler world of peace. May your wisdom guide us to know you and give us the courage to live your truth. Amen to the goddess.
Amen.
And then we have an opening prayer. And this is a prayer for humility, because we are talking today about humility and simplicity in our year of service. O Holy One, you made the earth and appointed the stars, the planets, and everything within these to follow a pattern of your design. You gave us morning, midday, evening and night, summer and winter, rain and sunshine, and the cyclic nature of time, so that we have constant reminders of both birth and death, of times of fasting and times of feasting, of times to toil in tears, and times to harvest with song and joy. Make humanity humble in the face of your creation. Although you endowed us with such intellect and will that we may harness all natural forces and transcend the challenges in our way, you have also given us the wisdom to know that your creation is made to be enjoyed, and have also given us the wisdom to know that your creation is made to be enjoyed and appreciated, not dominated and changed beyond recognition. Give us the graces necessary to avoid being arrogant. Give us the graces necessary to avoid being arrogant and taking your place in creation for our own convenience and profit, and the humility to be content with whatever you give us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, based upon our order of service, it's 10:15, and it's only now time for the reflection because we don't have music today.
That's true.
We have some practices that we, a practice that we will do. But today being the year that we're working with service, I'm wondering how it's going for everyone. Humility and simplicity is such an important key. When I was preparing for the service here, I began to think about the way of the dervish, and I thought I might talk about that a little bit. But I found that all of the preparation for that, that there was a little about that that I was going to share, and I ended up looking at St. Francis of Assisi again. I know a few years ago we did an entire year where we looked at him as his ability to be humble. And yet I'll do both. I'll speak a little bit about the path of the dervish and this humility and simplicity, and this value that exists about depleting the ego and expanding the soul consciousness, expanding the relationship with one another, the sincere, authentic, caring relationship one to another human being, and that that becomes refined through the experience of surrendering to God, to the divine. And as we are comfortable in our physical bodies, our emotional bodies relax, and we are able to accomplish more in the world, more towards peace, more towards health, more towards caring. So the idea of being humble and containing one's ego is a pathway that our community values. And it's a pathway that our individual community members spend a great deal of time improving themselves. And it's one of those things that's a beautiful thing to witness and to watch. We rarely get caught up in pettiness. It does happen. I'm probably the worst, but we have a value on getting to the essence of things, getting to the authentic attunement of the world, and for us to be as positive as possible in the world. One of the things that happens in the Mevlevi tradition that I've been involved in with over 20 years is we have this thing about not only surrendering to God, but paying attention to other people as if they're an honored guest. And you know that we have this tradition where we have a guest come and step in on the first Sunday of a month for our community, for us to learn from. And it's a beautiful attunement. And it makes us remember that we are not the experts. We are only the facilitators for this beautiful world that is evolving. And it's through our openness that makes more things possible. Things that were not possible before are now possible because we attune ourselves to this openness and this surrender to what is the most positive thing that we can accomplish. And we do it in subtle ways. In the Mevlevi tradition, which is the tradition of Rumi, the dervishes learn a spiritual practice called turning. And what happens in the turning is that your physical body applies effort and your interior self opens. And it opens like a flower. You know, when a seed expands, like a simple bean, for example, when you plant that in water or damp soil, that seed will split. And then from that seed, two branches come out. The same thing happens with a human being. That the human being is made of clay, and there's a spiritual energy that is infused in the human being from the beginning of creation. And when one chooses the spiritual practice of turning, what's happening is that one is opening one's interior self to the divine creation, light, and love of the universe. It's a marvelous thing and not very tangible, but it becomes a reality when one turns for an extended time, even for a few minutes. And one of the things that happens in turning, when I first became a Sema Zen, it's called Sema Zen, the turner, I thought I cannot do that because I am an introvert. And I thought, well, that's embarrassing. I cannot be turning around, displaying myself. Only after actually doing the practice did I realize how interior it was. And what others see has nothing to do with the experience. Except when you see a collective of semizens turning, there's an elegance and a cohesiveness that reminds you of the beauty and intricateness of the universe. Because each of our cells are spinning. The world is spinning. The planets are turning. And these are things that are happening at all times, at all places, and we are not conscious of it. When we turn, we have tapped into this flow, the flow of the universe. And it's a beautiful thing. When we become conscious of what is really happening in the universe, we can become more balanced about what the universe is. And when we realize that we are anchored in eternity, like our life is not all there is, we last forever. And if we are aware that we are eternal, we can handle and solve things easier at any time. I mentioned that I had been looking again at St. Francis of Assisi. And I was recalling how when he reached a point in his life where he'd been to war, he had tried to do some things, and he fell apart with his father, and he began to steal his father's fabrics and selling it to give to the poor, and there was a confrontation in the village in Italy where his father confronted him with the local
bishop.
Yeah, I think it was a bishop. The authority, the local authority. And it was, people were there. And I found this when I reread this in preparation for today, I got very, very attuned to understanding where he was at. He had had enough of the worldly life and wanted to do more spiritually. And he decided to leave to confront his father, but the way he did it is like saying, I've had enough of this. And even though perhaps it was not right that he had stolen from his father to sell, make money for poor, he had done that. And what he did in the square, in the town square, was he took off all his clothes. I had understood that differently when I was younger, and I began to realize that within the context of the dervish culture, when you reach that point where you are willing to be naked, and that's not necessarily viewing somebody physically without clothes, but when you are willing to get so raw, so open, so permeable, somehow that is like an interface with the divine. And those things do not happen with planning. I don't believe he decided, I'm going to go to the town square and reveal myself. But it was an impulse. So it was the spiritual impulse to do something and to do the thing that removed him from his concern of the world and moved him to his concern of spirit. And it's a choice. It's a choice we make daily, moment to moment. And we do fail. Also, that may seem extreme, but I don't think it is. I think we, at this stage in history, in this community, with the spiritual work that we are doing, that we need to make, and we are making, those risky choices that will reveal the greatest love possible in the universe. So some of these things are like examples, but it all comes down to the same thing, that when we can tamp down our ego, and we can become a different kind of human being that is full of flow and capable of caring for others, like the honored guest. And these simple things like the golden rule, the platinum rule, that we've talked about endlessly, that it's really true that if we can care for someone else more than we care for ourselves, the world has a chance. I also want to bring up about the divine feminine path, the divine mother path. There's people who have the capacity to care so deeply that they do not think of themselves. And we also know that it is possible that we can neglect ourselves. And we as a culture and individuals know that can be detrimental. At the same time, when you have someone like St. Francis of Assisi, he neglected himself completely, and he is considered a saint. However, the rest of us must keep a balance and a wholeness and a supportive way and be examples. I had another thought there that I'm going to come back to. I wanted to talk also a little bit about humiliation. We value humility, but we've all had experiences of humiliation. And we need to heal from those. And one of the difficulties about human beings with one another in our relationships is we can humiliate one another way too often. And I'm sorry to say and to admit that I was a teacher for many years. I have always been upset how children are humiliated. And we have to find ways to heal that. And all of us have had experiences of abject humiliation that we need to recover from in order for us to be able to love deeply others. Our own wounds need to be healed, and we need to work together, help one another to recover from these pains and this hurtfulness. And we need to seek out others who we can help. It's as if our congregation needs to become everyone become a spiritual companion for someone else. And it doesn't have to be a big commitment or you have to sign a contract about it, but be aware that your presence and your caring can affect healing when you're sitting next to someone. And in our consciousness, when we hold the congregation in our hearts and pray for their healing, their love, their recovery, that having those thoughts permeate through the world. There's a thing in the dervish tradition called adab, which is like an attunement and a respect for everyone and for what's going on. And when we practice adab, we're very courteous, and we're listening, and we're processing that thought for someone's need, and we're drawing in, asking for guidance from the divine, and we surrender to the divine. There's a Sufi order that I asked Michael to speak about a little bit, and it's called the Melamati order. He'll explain it a little bit more, but believe it or not, it's called the Path of Blame. And I've asked him to speak about it a little bit, because it's an attunement to accepting your responsibility for what can be moved forward and improved and repaired.